In these days of the internet, innocent people's reputations can be smeared by false allegations. Now, recently, Dr. Ben Carson, a man really with a stellar reputation, a potential candidate for president, was accused of supposedly committing plagiarism. I think that could be a very serious charge. The key man he was accused of plagiarizing is a recurring guest on this program, Bill Federer, author and speaker, best-selling author, I should add, host of the website AmericanMinute.com. One of my favorite books is Bill's book called America's God and Country, which is a one-volume reference book. In fact, I believe that was the book at the center of the allegations against Ben Carson. Bill, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Jerry, great to be with you.
So tell us about this story, and let's begin with the question of, since you're the one at issue here, did Ben Carson plagiarize you?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I was dismayed when I read the BuzzFeed article January 6, 2015, and saw how it attempted to use my words in a subtly crafted attack on Ben Carson's character by accusing him of plagiarism. Since the article specifically mentioned me, I decided I needed to be the one to respond. I had the privilege of serving on the board of a university with Dr. Ben Carson for several years, and in the course of our visits, he mentioned that he was in the process of writing a book on America. I told him about my books and suggested them to him. Matter of fact, a little while later, I was able to hand him several copies as we shared a shuttle ride on campus to one of the committee meetings. And I told him that I hoped he would find them interesting and that he had full permission to use any of the material in the books as he liked. Dr. Carson, with the help of his co-author and wife, Candy Carson, corresponded with me numerous times via email and telephone. And Candy Carson forwarded me the manuscript and asked me to read through it, which I gladly did and gave my approval. I was focusing on making sure that they had the right quote in the book, and I wasn't paying attention to footnotes, but they were being completely upfront and honest as to putting it before me. And now the book that we're specifically talking about is designed to be quoted. It's called America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, with a subtitle, Highlighting America's Noble Heritage, Profound Quotes from Founding Fathers, Presidents, Statesmen, Scientists, so forth, for use in speeches, papers, debates, and essays. In other words, it's designed to be used by people that are writing speeches and books and essays. And so it's a factual book. It's not filled full of concepts, and I'm not drawing conclusions. There's no proprietary ideas that I have in the book. It's just a retelling of dates and facts, and it's like a dictionary.
And it's got tons of documentation, and we should note that the United States Supreme Court actually cited that book in the year of our Lord 2014 in a decision in June last year where they got it right. But anyway, go on.
Right, the City of Greece decision. As a matter of fact, on the back cover of the book, the wording actually encourages readers to quote the book. It says, easy to use, excellent reference for use in journalism, articles, civic and campaign addresses, high school and college papers, letter to the editor, elected officials, and so forth. The book, thankfully, has been well received, and as you mentioned, it has been quoted by thousands of authors and speakers and politicians over the last 20 years. Through over a dozen reprints, the book has gone through editorial improvements, such as the correction of typographical errata, which is errors that had been published in the book, and in the next printing you correct them, as well as improving the source references in the book, making sure it's completely accurate. To further facilitate users to quote from the book, America's God and Country, on the inside front page is the conditions of use. It says permission is granted to duplicate 10,000 words or less, provided acknowledgement is given. Now, this means that the author does not even have to contact me. They can just use the quotes.
But you've already shown that Dr. Carson and his wife did contact you as well. So they were going beyond, the call of duty as on your own terms.
Right. And as a matter of fact, in the book, he's gone way beyond what others authors have done. For example, This is America the Beautiful, Dr. Ben Carson, Chapter 3. It says, I am so grateful for people such as former congressional candidate William Federer, who has done extraordinary research to uncover documents revealing the true sentiments and belief of our founders. Clearly, he is not trying to steal my thoughts when he's giving me credit. Again, in the acknowledgement page, he says, I wish heartily to thank Josh Sloan, Celia Yates, Bob Hudson, Bill Federer, Scott McDonald, and name several of the names, and the entire team who worked tirelessly to get this book published. Again, he and his wife, Candy, had been the co-authors. On page 200, he has a quote, and the end note says, William Federer, America's God and Country Encyclopedia Quotation, St. Louis, Amerisearch, which is the company publishing name, and page 458. Again, endnote number 9, Federer, America's God and Country, page 453. And then in chapter 2, Are We a Judeo-Christian Nation? Endnote number 2, Federer, America's God and Country, 365. Endnote number 3, Federer, America's God and Country, page 654. And then endnote number 8. Federer.
Okay. We get the idea. So basically, though, what they're saying here, BuzzFeed is saying that Ben Carson plagiarized you, and by giving you attribution and using these quotes. I mean, he didn't overuse 10,000 quotes. By the way, suppose even. Well, maybe I shouldn't even go there. I won't even go there. What is your gut reaction to this overall allegation? I mean, it just seems like it's totally unfounded. It's just sort of a way to try and, you know, make some sort of accusation against Ben Carson and hope that it sticks. There's so much politics of destruction these days, which is a good phrase that the Clintons came up with, but sometimes you think they kind of perfected that art. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, with 16 acknowledgments and citations of my book in his book, it is obvious that Dr. Ben Carson made demonstrable efforts to make proper attribution. Indeed, his overt acknowledgments have resulted in numerous individuals contacting me to purchase my book.
Wow.
I feel misrepresented by the BuzzFeed article. Publishing errors called errata are not plagiarism. Any missing attributions were simply editor's oversight, and it is disingenuous for BuzzFeed to level the accusation of plagiarism against Dr. Carson. To further illustrate that the editor made errors, in one of the endnotes, instead of James Madison, the editor had left John Madison. As I know, there is no John Madison. This is the editor, when they're doing their last overlook of the book, they missed a correction. And so the editor messed up, and it's wrong for them to level this very serious accusation of plagiarism against Dr. Carson for their error. Interestingly enough...
Wait, let's stop. Okay, which book says John Madison versus James Madison? America the Beautiful by Dr. Ben Carson
America
and his
Beautiful.
Wife? Okay.
In the end note,
yeah.
Where it in the book, it quotes from James Madison. And
yeah.
It has the little
but in the end note, instead of saying James, it says John Madison. Now, was in your book, America's God and Country, surely it says James Madison, not John Madison, correct? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Obviously a mistake was made. That happens, you know, with publishing. I'm sorry to say, I've made a mistake, sometimes in some of the books I've worked on. I've worked on 25 books as writer or co-author. But how would that be plagiarism? I mean, that's just a mistake. Hello? A typo.
And the double standard is so blatant.
Yeah.
Here we have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is honored by a U.S. federal holiday every third Monday in January. He was accused of having plagiarized in his doctoral dissertation and speeches in that he neglected to give proper attribution to his sources. In my opinion, Dr. Carson has demonstrated sincere and honest attempts to give proper attribution to the source of my quote book.
Yeah.
In, again, over 16 different acknowledgments, and then a blanket acknowledgment saying, I want to thank William Federer for his excellent work.
Yeah.
This is not an instance of someone trying to steal thoughts. And the two instances where there was not an endnote, it's a retelling of facts. It's this battle on this date at this place. It's not any concepts. it could be, you could go to any Wikipedia source and you get the dates, the time, the place, the people that were there. And so it was not him stealing my thoughts. It was just simply facts, and probably because it was just facts, that's why it was overlooked. And,
is it possible that he was accused then of stealing your words? I mean, it's one thing to say that somebody could steal, well, there's no, but history is public domain in one sense, obviously. But if you tell the story, I'm just going to make this up, of the Battle of New Orleans, and then somebody virtually copies and pastes your Bill Federer's retelling of the Battle of New Orleans, one could say, oh, that's a form of plagiarism. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about in this particular instance?
Oh, yeah, it just says, okay, there was this battle at this place at this time, and these were the people that were involved, and that was all that was not, didn't have quotation marks around it. It wasn't me coming up with, and again, lots of my books, I go to great lengths to come up with concepts and ideas, and I feel a proprietary ownership of that, and if somebody would have copied that, yeah, I'd have felt like they stolen something from me. This is the two instances that he didn't. To me, if the BuzzFeed article was intending to be honest, it would have put these 16 instances, Dr. Carson did give proper attribution to Bill Federer. These two instances,
he
the
did
editor
not.
Missed it. That would have been fair for them to cherry pick.
Okay, got it.
There are these
okay.
two instances, and he didn't give attribution. The reader of the BuzzFeed article
right.
is left with the impression that he just is a plagiarist.
You know, here I've got a
continuous.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Bill. I'm sorry for interrupting. I've got a great illustration. You said on an interview I did with you for the D. James Kennedy Ministry television program one time, you said something like, our founding fathers sacrificed for the sake of our prosperity, our posterity. I got it wrong. Our founding fathers sacrificed their own prosperity for the sake of their posterity. Today, we're sacrificing our posterity for the sake of our own prosperity. You said something to that effect, but using those two words and inverting it. And that is a virtual quote from you, from Bill Federer. Now, if that were ever to come out in print and somebody didn't give you proper attribution, that would be a shame, because that is a brilliant way of, talking about the debt problem. And, you know, this president, for example, has run up a $7.5 trillion debt just while he's been in office, which is unprecedented, as far as our government. But I use that as an example to quote that without giving you credit. That would be a form of plagiarism, I think.
Yeah, and Dr. Carson did not do that. And again, he sent me the manuscript.
Right.
And asked me to go through it, even asked, are there any omissions? So if there was a fault, it would have been mine for not catching this. But in reading through the manuscript, I didn't catch it. I thought, well, I'm looking for the specific quotes he used, and are they ones that have substantially verified end notes, that they weren't quotes that are the source is questioned, and so I was focusing on that. But here, how can somebody accuse him of any intent of doing wrong when he's sending me the entire manuscript? To me, this is an oversight by the editor. It is
for the you mean these two instances? Yeah, is what
right.
you're, yeah.
And I ran for office 3 times. And I once met with a operative of the other party, and he said in confidence that my opponent had an entire operation research team.
To dig up dirt on you.
Right. They call it opposition research. And he says that they have a telephone book of information on me.
Wow.
But he says, I can tell you they've not found anything where you've messed up. But he says that won't stop them. They'll still throw out lies and hope that you don't have enough money to clear your name.
Wow.
And unfortunately, this is a strategy. Yep. It's called the politics of personal destruction.
Yep.
I actually read through a...
15
NPR.
Seconds left. 15 seconds left.
David Axelrod said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. In other words, you do the dirt and you blame your opponent and hope that he can't clear his name. This is a political attack on Dr. Carson, and I hope that the public has enough sense to see through it.
Bill Federer, God bless you. Keep up the great work. AmericanMinute.com. That's where you can get America's God and Country. Thanks so much, Bill.